Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. Jeremy Corbyn has just finished his speech to the Labour conference and members are winding their way home from Brighton. Katie Balls was in the conference hall and she joins me, Isabel Hardman, now with James Forsyth, who was also watching the speech. So Katie, what was the atmosphere like in the hall as Jeremy Corbyn spoke?
It was pretty electric, to be honest. It felt a little bit more like it was a stadium gig than a speech at a party conference. The playlist before there had lots of subliminal messaging with power and many lyrics. And when he did get on stage, it began with a clap and a chant about, you know, power to the people. And
he struggled to stop people clapping, didn't he?
Exactly. Like, he couldn't even start a speech for a while. When he did start his speech, there were just multiple standing ovations. He constantly had to stop for people cheering. And overall, the crowd just seemed delighted. And at the end, they didn't really want to leave. There was a very passionate performance of the red flag.
James, what did you make of the substance of Corbyn's speech? Was it a good speech or was it one of his rambling ones?
It was too long, but I think it will clip relatively well for the news tonight, which is the most important thing. I thought his attacks on the Tories were quite sharp and they were quite effective. You know, he went after the government for its divisions on Brexit, for the money that it's found for the DUP. And I thought those were clever. I thought you were reminded of some of his flaws when you got into a kind of long middle section of a speech where it rather flagged. It was a bit of a kind of tour around the houses of what he thinks about things. But I think at the very end of a speech, you saw what he really thinks, which is that he's moving the centre ground of politics and that post-crash, it has gone radically to the left. That is what he is betting the house on. And I think 6 months ago, we all thought this was an awful bet. It doesn't look like such a bad bet now.
Katie, he said in the speech that Labour is now the mainstream of politics. Do you think that's true or do you think it's actually that the Conservatives are in such a mess, which he detailed very well in his speech, that Labour can get away with doing whatever they want because the Tories just look so unattractive by comparison?
But he should remember the Conservatives at one point thought they could get away with doing whatever they wanted. And then we saw what happened in the snap election. I think it's a combination. I think the Conservative infighting and the problems they're having means that Labour really feel that they can grab the momentum. But they do feel that they have tapped into something, and almost by embracing this anti-austerity like tone to everything, there's no longer this question. When Corbyn says, we're going to look after the young and we're going to look after the old, we're not going to pitch generations against each other, and then he goes on an attack for, you know, the Conservatives threatening the triple lock or the dementia tax and says free tuition fees, there's no one going, how are you going to pay for that? That seems to have gone, and it means they've really got lots of momentum behind them. And part of that, going back to the Conservatives, is their fault, because we saw a big part of that speech where they talked about the magic money tree and this £1 billion deal with the DUP. And that means it's much harder to attack Corbyn on what probably is the weakest part of his grand vision.
And James, do you think that the Conservatives will have been worried by how Labour conference overall and Jeremy Corbyn's speech have gone?
I think this is a fascinating thing, because in a kind of conventional media analysis, there have been lots of bad stories for Labour out of Labour conference. The Labour preparing for a run on the pound, the ugly debate over anti-Semitism in the party, you know, some of this Emma Dent code stuff about Prince Harry. But will any of that cut through? I think that is the big question. Or has there just been this kind of sea change, to paraphrase Jim Callaghan, in Labour's favour, and almost nothing else matters compared to that? I mean, that's quite interesting. I also am struck by, again, I mean, Corbyn is ramping up the rhetoric. I mean, he talked about social cleansing in his speech and his opposition to gentrification. It'll be interesting to see whether that strikes a chord with voters or not.
And let's just talk about those policies quickly that were in the speech, particularly regarding social housing. Katie, what was the main focus? Did he announce anything new that we hadn't heard before?
He talked about rent controls, which seemed to be an advancement on things he previously said, and also stopping gentrification of areas. And a lot of this is linked with Grenfell, and to this idea that you wouldn't be able to gentrify areas without permission from the tenants before or ballot. And also that.
What does he mean by gentrifying areas?
I think what he means is basically new developments or knocking down estates, and you can't move. He had an argument that you can't move people who live in these areas because you're bringing nice new houses in, so you need to look after their interests, which I think is probably a popular view. It just depends if that goes along with also this idea of repossessing second homes, which he didn't touch on as much.
James, did you think it sounded like a left-wing speech in policy terms? Do you think that he feels that the Overton window that the Corbynites like to talk about has moved to the extent that he can set out left-wing policies, or was it really just a sort of reheating of Milibandism?
I think it's definitely more left-wing than Milibandism. And I think also, remember, that a lot of the policy work was done in that John McDonnell speech, talking about taking back PFI initiatives and the like. So I don't think he needs to do that. And tonally, I think it is very left-wing. And you can't get away from that tone, that message. I think on housing, the Tories, the challenge for Tories is ever clearer, which is Corbyn is never going to embrace home ownership. That's not his politics. The Tories have to find a way to make themselves back into the party of home ownership.
And on the subject of Ed Miliband, I was sat quite close to him in the hall, and he was very politely clapping along to the majority of the speech. He got a special shout out, but he seemed quite happy with the direction the party was going, and was one of the... There weren't that many Labour MPs from perhaps a certain wing of the party there, but Miliband definitely seemed to be happy with his successor.
He probably envies the confidence that the Labour Party is now able to have. And we're at the end of conference now. So, James, what has struck you the most about this week? What have you taken away from this conference that you've learnt about the Labour Party now?
I think this is now definitely, undoubtedly, Jeremy Corbyn's party. I think that has become clear as the week has gone on. There is also this Labour sense that they're going to win and the sense of energy they have. I think that we did get one very big policy hint in the speech today, though, which is when he talked about how Labour will, outside the EU, will remake the economy. I thought that was code for Labour under Jeremy Corbyn will not advocate staying in the single market, because it seemed to me like the things he wanted to do on that front would not be compatible with single market membership.
And Katie?
I think I've just been struck again by the domination of Corbyn at this event, but also just how previous things that seemed to be fringe for Labour now are back in the mainstream, and it's just this absolute flip sides that's topsy-turvy. We had Ben Bradshaw at an event saying that for the first time ever he's been protesting outside Labour conference, and all the usual protesters are inside. And I think it's just, that was an anti-Brexit march, but I think it's just the confidence that the membership now have. They really feel like they've got their party back, and the moderates are just having to like it or lump it.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And a reminder that you can listen to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. Thanks for listening.